I don't think that we're here tonight. I don't think that we should even be here tonight to attempt to understand the massive tragedies that take place, and specifically one that just took place. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Ein biyodeinu loy mishalvas harashoyim veloy miyisurei hatzadikim." It's beyond our comprehension, the peace that the Rishoyim seem to manage in this world, and the suffering that the righteous endure. It's beyond us. Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, "Madu aderech Rishoyim tzlecho?" He couldn't understand why the wicked people in the world seem to be more successful than the good people in the world. Truth is, seems from Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu asked this question when he said to Hashem, "Hoydieni no estrochecho," and Hashem appeared to him. That seems to be the ultimate question, the question which in reality is beyond our ability to comprehend. On the other hand, we have to cope. And usually, the best coping mechanism would be to understand. Oh, I know exactly, it all makes sense, everything, this is the way it should be, and this is perfectly right and just and sense, and that would be wonderful, but that may be beyond us. That seems it is beyond us. But we have to be able to cope. Personally, I think that part of the coping mechanism is to realize that in reality, all questions on Hashem are really more emotional than they are intellectual, because intellectually he is so beyond my ability to comprehend anything that even looking at the most bizarre phenomenon in the world, the most seemingly unfair phenomenon in the world, is only through my myopic vision, and I can't really comprehend what's going on. So to ask the question, "Hey, that don't make no sense to me," like, who do you think you are? Like, but the questions, I think, are emotional. Emotional is, the pain is emotional. It's pain for human suffering. It's pain for Jewish suffering. It's pain for community suffering. It's pain for friend suffering. It's pain for relative suffering. It's pain for our own suffering. And this is an emotional issue that we have. Like, emotionally, I just can't cope. It doesn't make any emotional sense, if you will. And that's really, I think, the area that we have to focus on. And that focus, I think, requires a number of hanochas, a number of basic principles that we have to, I think, keep in mind if we even wish to come to some emotional peace or emotional tolerance, some type of coping with the tragedies that exist. And I'd rather just list them and then see what we could do with them. Number one, we have to realize that this world is part of an eternity. It's a very, very minute, microscopic piece of eternity. And it's all connected. It's like a continuum which starts from the beginning of time and goes on eternally. And the piece, the scene that we're witnessing now is keheref ayin. It's over, you know. It just kigos chish v'neufa. It disappears. So seeing a broader perspective and knowing that everything is connected and knowing that the neshama is an eternal being, eternal. It lives on forever. already gives at least a sense of perspective. And I think that just simply put, if one truly believes, if one only believes that this world is where it starts and it ends, then the tragedies that go on are just unbearable, emotionally unbearable. But when there's a sense of this is part of a broader continuum, it already, you know, there's things going on, this we have to be here, and then some people have to be there, and sometimes the time comes, and everybody has a time when it comes to move on. So already it's a piece that is critical for any, I think, for any coping mechanism to take place. I think that when a tragedy strikes, so logically, I should say illogically, there are a few possible ways of looking at it. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not involved with the world anymore. Doesn't care. Or as one wrote a book, he's incapable. He's good, nice, kind, loving, helpless. Okay, he's helpless and tragedies happen. If he doesn't care, tragedies happen. If he's not involved, tragedies happen. So we first, of course, have to dispel these attitudes because they're false. They're blatantly false. They're just no shaychus to reality. When we open our eyes and see the world around us and see the chesed Hashem and see the powers of Hashem and see the involvement of Hashem in the Bria, so we realize that this statement is only born out of the emotional depression of facing a tragedy, and therefore we look at it and we say, maybe, but that's certainly out of the question. There's a Borei Olam, and he's actively involved in this world in every single detail that goes through. There's no such thing as an accident. In the words of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, every bullet has an address, and so does every accident, and so does every fire, and so does every tragedy. Nothing happens by accident. And it certainly isn't that Hashem doesn't care. The infinite chesed that we see in our own lives, if we pay attention, and in the world from the beginning of time and onward, makes it very clear that it's olam chesed yibaneh. So it isn't that. And it isn't that he's not involved in minute and petty details in life, because we see that Hashgacha Pratis in so many different things on a daily basis if we open our eyes. So this, of course, makes it that, yes, this was supposed to be. Now, what does that do? Well, on the one hand, it lessens the weight a little bit, because this is what was supposed to be. This was ordained by the Creator. When we recognize that the Creator has only one purpose in this world, and that's to do chesed, and when we recognize that kol ma de'ovid rachmono letav ovid, so then it takes on a different perspective, and we see, hey, look, but of course, then emotionally, the question comes back sometimes even stronger. How could this be Latav? How could he want to do such a thing? It doesn't make any sense. Now, unfortunately, the emotional ability to cope with this, what I call an emotional question, is really a factor of how much homework I've done before I face the tragedy. Because if my life has been predicated and experienced and in depth an awareness of the Chesed Hashem surrounding me, surrounding my family, surrounding my community, surrounding the history of Klal Yisrael and the world, then it becomes easier emotionally to cope with that, because I know from experience and I feel the Chesed Hashem. And therefore, when something doesn't seem to fit well with that feeling, but the fact that I have so many positive feelings, it makes it easier to be able to cope with that. Unfortunately, sometimes the magnitude of the tragedy is beyond the capacity that we have developed for appreciating the Chesed Hashem. We may not have focused enough on it. We may not have paid enough attention. And after the fact, when we start looking at these things, it becomes all the more difficult because we're looking with a black eye. We're looking with a cloud over our, you know, in front of our eyes or over our vision or over our situations. And it's hard to appreciate and recognize all of the chesed which I've seen in my whole life because of the depressed and broken attitude that I have at the present moment. So, still, those that are a little bit further away have a little bit easier to focus on the chesed, to look around at their situation, to look around at their families, to look around at their history, to look around at our history, to pay attention to the Haggadah, to pay attention to the message of the Yontif, to pay attention to everything that we say every day in all the Shiras of Tishbochah, is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The closer we are to the tragedy, the more personal it gets, the more difficult that is. But that is really a critical ingredient. Imagine if we could have, before facing a tragic situation, appreciated what David HaMelech said, when he said, Mo ashiv la Hashem kol tagmoloi oloi. And it's the Meforshim say, how could I ever thank Hashem? All the benefit that I have is from him. The Targum learns, kol tagmoloi hi, all of the good that he has, he's given to me. David HaMelech was able to feel with the chesed that he had in his life as if he was the recipient of all the chesed that Hashem has to give. The whole world's chesed, all the whole world full of chesed, every chesed that exists in this world, every gemul, every benefit that exists in this world was all bestowed upon me. That's how appreciative we can be of chesed. With that type of an appreciation, that same David HaMelech was able to say, Al chesed u'mishpot oshiro. And the Gemara darshins in Brochos, Al chesed oshiro, Al mishpot oshiro. David HaMelech was able to say the same Hallel when Hashem did chesed to him as when he punished him, as when he suffered tragedy. He was able to say the same Hallel, or Shira, that Shira which is the highest expression of appreciation of all of Hashem's chesed, he was able to say, because to him, the Mishpat was also chesed. But that's a very difficult, a very lofty, a very, very high level to achieve. And I dare say, I would suggest that they go together. That it could only, it may be that only because David HaMelech was able to say, Mo Ashiv La Hashem Kol Tag Meloi Oloi, and to feel as if he was the recipient of all the chesed in the world, then when Mishpat happened, it's also chesed. I receive all the chesed there is. Hashem gives me all of his chesed. Everything he owns in this world, every chesed that he has in this world, he's given to me. So now when he gives mishpat, I can also see it as chesed. But it's very hard for us. The most that we can do, and that's what's brought in halacha, is we say, Boruch Dayana Emes. We say, you're the Dayana Emes. You know, you judge, your judgment is true. And I would dare say, your judgment is true chesed. But we can't appreciate it. We can't fathom it. Intellectually, we're not even trying because you're beyond us. But emotionally, we can't fathom it because how could this be good? How could this be chesed? How could this tragedy? So, and therefore we can't go there. The most that we could really say is Diana Emes. On the other hand, we still have to cope. We have to cope. And the coping part, that emotional coping part, is really the most difficult thing that there is. And I think when it comes to coping, there are a couple of things that should be kept in mind. Eoiv suffered tragedy. 10 children died. He was a wealthy man, he lost everything. was a healthy man, he became deathly ill. And he sits for 7 days with his friends that came to visit him. Not a word. They couldn't talk until the Oval spoke, and the Oval couldn't talk. Didn't say a word. 7 days they sat in silence by his side. Then they begin to talk and try to figure things out. What, why, what, who knows? Try to understand what's going on. In Perek Lamed Ches, Hashem reveals to him, gives him the answer. Vayomer Hashem el Iyov, Eifo ha'yisa b'yos ti'oretz. Were you around at the beginning of time? Did you see the whole panorama? Were you upstairs to see that beautiful needlepoint which down here just looks like disheveled threads that are hanging? Eifo ha'yisa b'yos ti'oretz. You can't possibly know. You don't know all my cheshbonos. You don't know whose neshama had to come from where to who, to whom, when, and you don't know anything. How long it had to be there. You don't have the total picture. Without the total picture, and the total picture is eternity, eternal, what do you know? It's minuscule. So the question is, why, and more than that, the pasuk before Rashi learns that Hashem hinted to him that he's going to have 10 children again, he's going to have his wealth again, and his health again. Only then was Hashem ready to tell him, this is beyond your understanding. So it seems that there's an emotional need to try to understand. It's emotional, because intellectual, it's stupid to try to understand what Hashem does. Because, not shayich. Eifo yisa b'yos ti'oretz is the ultimate intellectual answer. But it had to wait 38 prokim, and only before Hashem told him or hinted to him that he's going to have again 10 children with wealth, with health, was he even able to cope? Was he able to relate to such an answer of, you weren't around for the beginning of time, you can't possibly know. So it seems that on an emotional level, not only maybe is it permissible, but maybe even appropriate to attempt to try to make some I don't know if there's a word, emotional sense, but some kind of sense out of it, just for an emotional purpose, just to be able to cope with it. And I think that, and it seems that even besides that, that Eov, in order to be able to deal with the lack, with the finality of the statement that he can't know, he also had to be able to have that taste of that touch of optimism that he's going to have children again, 10 children, he's going to have his parnosa back, he's going to have his health back. Otherwise, it was too overwhelming emotionally, and he couldn't deal with it. So we do need that type of a chizuk. And that's really that, it's very difficult because we, like, what do we know? And when we try to figure it out, we won't be successful. Because we can't know. It's impossible. No one's communicating with us. But just that need to at least attempt, to at least feel maybe that I tried. I tried to make some sense out of it. I have a possible scenario. And maybe, I'm conjecturing a bit, that with the possible scenario, that even though I may know that that scenario is not real, how could I know? I have no shaychus to knowing. But just that emotionally, I went through the process of seeing that there might be some sense to this is enough to say, hey, I don't understand it. But now emotionally, I'm better capable of dealing with it because I've gone through the motion, the exercise of making some possible sense out of it. And I see, hey, you know, I can't come up with something. I have no idea whether it's valid or not. But enough to be able to cope with the fact that this reality is that it's beyond me. At this point, I'd like to share some personal recollection. And I do it because I feel that at times like this, it was helpful to me in a time of tragedy. And therefore, I think the concept, not the specifics obviously, can be helpful to anyone in the time of tragedy. Many years ago, after completing what was quite a successful first year in establishing a yeshiva high school in California, 2 days before the end of the school year, 2 weeks before the end of the school year, I had invited one of the rabbis, we had a girls' division, a boys' division, to tell a story for the girls' Malava Malka. They were having a Malava Malka to entertain them. He was supposed to be a good storyteller. And he tells a story of an elderly couple. They didn't have any children. They went to the Rebbe for a brocha. They got a brocha, and then finally they had a boy. The boy lived for 5 years, a wonderful boy, and then he passed away. And they were very distraught, and the woman was already too old to have children. When they went back to the Rebbe, and Hayetochen, you know, after such a brocha, after such a gift, this is what happens. And the Rebbe told him, he says that, you know, this child of yours had a neshoma that came back in a Gilgul. There's such a thing as Gilgulei neshomas, neshomas that have to come back to this world to complete unfinished business, so to speak. And this was a Gilgul of a Ger Tzedek who lived a life of super piety. You know, hundreds of years ago, whatever. Natshaych, he came to Shemayim, they told him, you know, you're le'elo, le'elo, except for one thing. The first 5 years, 5 years of your life, you lived as a goy. He was a prince born to a king, and they had hired a Jewish tutor for him. He became enamored with his Jewish mentor, tutor, and he ran away with him to become a Ger Tzedek. And he soared spiritually to the highest heights. But when he went upstairs, 5 years, you know, you didn't have it. You have to come back for those 5 years. This child that you had for 5 years was this neshoma that had to be mashlim, his tafkin. He was only supposed to be here for those 5 years. He lived a full life as a tzaddik yesod olam in a previous gilgul. And this was the privilege that you had to host and to nurture and this child for 5 years. And that's the story. Interesting story, important story. Frankly, I was extremely annoyed at this person. I asked you to entertain the girls at a Malava Malka. I don't consider this story very entertaining. You know, it may be very important, it may be very relevant, but entertaining? That's your idea. And I was fuming. I remember I was like livid. 2 weeks later, I was on the plane to Eretz Yisrael with my wife to bury my 5.5-year-old son who had died in an accident. And all of a sudden, I'll remember it like this day. This is 43 years ago, maybe. I turned to my wife and I say, he was talking to us. That story was for us. The idea that a young child, child in the story was 5, this was 5.5, came to this world with an neshoma from someone that had to be mashlim, had to complete his tafkid, and came back here and completed his task and left the world. And it was such a source of neshoma. It gave me such strength. Now, I took it further and I said, I think I know whose neshoma it was too. My wife always used to tell me to keep quiet. You know, but I think I know who's neshoma. But it doesn't matter. Because the scenario, the possibility. See, if we're talking about intellectual has to be honest. If we're talking about emotional, there just has to be a coping mechanism. It just has to be, yeah, maybe that's what it was. This was a neshoma, especially if I thought I knew whose it was. I knew whatever. And wow, what a privilege. That's what it was supposed to be. And it wasn't the loss. Well, it was, but it was also the privilege of having hosted such a neshoma. And that was an emotional source of strength. And I think that on one level, that's the way we have to look at things. Without the concept of Gilgul neshomas, it's very hard to deal, especially with children dying. Children have no sins. Children have nothing to die for. There's no punishment, nothing. But there's a plan. And sometimes why this parent was privileged with this privilege, with this plan, and this parent was privileged with this one, again, it's beyond us. But in reality, everything is beyond us. Because Eifo Hayisa Beyosti Oretz, it was the true teretz that was given to Eiv. But in terms of coping emotionally, I could hear, yeah, something like that. Yeah, this, if that's what it is, then I can understand Aaron, Vayidom Aaron. Aaron didn't say anything, Al Nodo Vaviu. Nothing to say because he understood that that's the way it was supposed to be. So this is, I think, part of how we have to look at these things and how we can maybe better, maybe somewhat better, cope with tragedy. There's another piece which I think is interesting too, and that is something, I think I may have it written up. I brought something here that I wrote many, many years ago about this subject. I was interested, I'll make it available. I think this may be there too, but very strange. Kapitel Chof Gimel. David HaMelech says, Shivtecho u'mishantecho heimo yenachamuni. A shevet is a whip. A mishenes is a stick that you lean on, a cane. But a shevet is a nechoma? Your whip consoled me? The whip is not the vehicle of consolation. The whip is the vehicle of consternation, of punishment, of... What's David HaMelech talking about? So I once heard from an Odom Godel, he said, a moshel of a shepherd. He's shepherding his flock, and it's a beautiful sunny day, and everybody, they're running wild over the fields, and he's watching, and everything is in order. Finally, the sun is starting to set, and it's getting late, and he has to gather in all the sheep, and he has to take a head count to make sure that he has all of his charges, and he sees he's missing one. He sets out, you know, everyone else is closed in, and he sets out to look for the one that's missing. He's looking and going over the fields and looking, and this lamb also is a little bit nervous already. It's starting to get dark, and she's getting a little bit concerned, like, why I lost the shepherd lost me, what's going to be, you know, whatever animals think, I don't know. And all of a sudden, he spots that lamb over there. And with that whip that he has, he cracks it right over her back. And the little lamb said, what a nechoma. The shepherd has found me. The shepherd hasn't forgotten me. The shepherd hasn't forsaken me. There is such a thing that we can feel. Again, this is David HaMelech. It's so hard to feel in the whip, the nechoma. But it's doable. It's there. It's the shevet can be the nechoma because Hashem is with me. And sometimes, the more bizarre the situation, the more bizarre, almost the more tragic that a situation is, the more we can see something is. It has divine fingerprints. Now, some people get very annoyed, divine fingerprints, and that's why I'm angry. That's something else. Divine fingerprints, and if we have the Hakdomas that we mentioned to the appreciation of the Chesed Hashem and his involvement with every detail in our lives, with his Ashkocha Protis, then the divine fingerprints are a sense of Nechoma, that this was part of the plan. And when it had to happen in a very bizarre way, there's a reason for that too. I don't know, but I see the fingerprints. And when two people had to undergo this tragedy together, that's also very bizarre. Divine fingerprints. And when it happens in such close proximity to a simcha, divine fingerprints. I have to tell you, in another personal aside, we celebrated a year and a half ago, the marriage of the first grandchild. And my wife was ill before, and we had been to the doctor like 10 days before, before the wedding. It was like a week before the wedding, not 8 days before the wedding. And the doctor said that the treatments had worked, and she's not going to need any more treatments. And the disease is over, and sounded like good news. You know, it takes time to recuperate from all the treatments, but we had that night, the wedding, and she danced with the kala. It was very beautiful. It was Wednesday night. Shabbos, we had a Shabbos Shev Rochas. Not Shaykh. The whole family was here. It was the most beautiful thing. Mitzvah Shabbos, right before, pulled into our driveway, and she must have had a heart attack. And by after a couple hours of effort to revive her, it was all over. And Sunday, we sat with the whole family at a Levaya. Tragic. Mitzad Echod, the close proximity to the Simcha even exacerbated the tragedy. But on the other hand, think about it. The timing, the close proximity. The whole family being here from Israel, from California, everybody was here for the Simcha, for the Shabbos Shev Rochas, and for the Levaya the next day. The fingerprints. The divine fingerprints were there. You could feel them. Can't make sense out of it in a rational way. And sometimes we can. You know, I mean, as long as I'm mentioning this, I think maybe I should mention that my wife, when she was 3 years old, in the Melchemet HaShichur, in the War of Independence, a bomb came right into her house. She and her cousin were burnt terribly. Cousin didn't survive. And she miraculously, some mother tripped on her. It was so dark in the room, they didn't even know where what was going on. And she pulled around and she saved her life. So, you know, sometimes a person really was here for a shorter period of time. We look at it as, you know, 71 years is short, but 3 years is a lot shorter. And sometimes, like when the Shmuel Baruch Hu says, you suffered, I have Rachmanis, giving you an extension. And this is the extension. And what to us looks like an end, or a shortened version, in reality was elongated from 368 years. And I must admit, you know, something to show for it, Baruch Hashem. We don't know, but attempting to see the Yad Hashem, attempting to see the divine fingerprints, attempting to make some sense out of the whole mess is probably one of the best ways to be able to strengthen ourselves and emotionally cope with the tragedies that we face. But the truth of the matter is that tragedy has another power. And that is, oddly and strangely enough, it can connect us, reconnect us, deepen the connection that we have with Hashem. And that, I think, is important to focus on for a moment as well. Number one, to cope with tragedy emotionally, you must begin to trust Hashem. I have to trust that you know what you're doing. I have to trust that you really care, and this is a product, in some bizarre way that I can't fathom for the life of me, of your caring and your love and your chesed. How? I don't know. If you ask me, I couldn't even guess. Maybe I'll try to figure out something just to be able to fall asleep at night, you know, to be able to cope with it. But reality, that's what it is. So a person is now motivated to search and to practice trust in Hashem. Because I cannot cope with this emotionally unless I develop some trust in Hashem. Because without being able to trust in Him and His chesed, in His involvement, in His caring, in His knowing what He's doing, in His orchestrating everything, then I'm left with accident and tragedy and happenstance and evildoers in the world, and it's unbearable. Now, the tragedy is still the same tragedy. The loss is the same loss, but it's a different level of tragedy. Because it was designed by one who knows better than me. It was designed by one who I must trust. I must trust that he knows what he's doing. And that already takes me into the world of trusting Hashem. It opens up new vistas in Bitochin because I have to trust him. Just like when a person is in dire straits, financially or otherwise, and he has no choice but to trust in Hashem, and that the Rabbeinu Yonah brings the Pasuk in Mishlei, Be'iras Hashem Mivtachois, the strength of Bitochon comes from the fear. I'm afraid. I don't know what's going to be, Hashem. I may not be worthy. What's happening to me? I'm losing my parnos. I'm losing my health. I'm losing this. I'm losing that. And that catapults him into a state of bitochen because I have no place to go. I have no one to trust. I have no recourse other than to rely on you. Tragedy does the same thing because I have to cope. And the only way I can cope is to find the ability to trust you, to trust your judgment, to trust your kindness, to trust your actions, to trust your involvement, to trust your control. So it develops a new sense of trust. And then, in another dimension, it also does something else. The pasuk says, "Bori matem laHashem aleikechem leisiskoydu veleisasimu korcho beinenechem lameis." So the Sefer says he's concerned with the hemshich. Your children to Hashem, don't overly mourn. Skoydu means used to rip their skin of their heads, and used to do terrible things, pagans, to mourn the losses. He says, "What's the hemshich?" So he says, the hemshich is very poshut. You have a relationship which is even closer than anything that you may have lost. You're Hashem's children. You have me. You may have lost, but don't overdo the mourning because you still have something which may even be beyond that relationship, which is beyond that relationship. You know, I always like to say that every relationship ends at some point, except the relationship between my neshoma and its creator. That's the only eternal relationship. And now, as we sit here now, we are engaged in an eternal relationship. All other relationships are temporary. Hopefully, some, they should be long. Some will be longer than others. But the eternal relationship is the relationship between my soul and its maker. And knowing Boni Matem LaHashem Elokeichem can be the greatest, most soothing experience. And unfortunately, appreciating that only happens when we feel the pain of loss. Until we feel the pain of loss, we take that relationship for granted, just as we took all other relationships for granted and didn't fully and didn't enough appreciate what we had. But when we lost, and it's a tragic loss, and it's a painful loss, and it's an overwhelming loss, and it's destroying me, that loss, then I know, Boni Matem LaHashem Elokeichem, I have to turn to Hashem. And it forces us to strengthen our relationship with Hashem. And Mimela, that sets in motion an ongoing coping mechanism. Because any time that I revisit the tragedy, and that I feel that pain, and it takes a long time. It does eventually get easier and easier and easier. It never becomes completely easy, but it definitely lessens. At some point, after a year at this, there's a point when it's almost forgotten. You know, unfortunately, one of the things that's very sad about these things, sometimes it's only once a year that we remember, you know, when it comes to a yahrzeit, you know. Maybe Yiska a little bit, you know. It's not so simple. But that's part of the coping mechanism of life. It becomes easier and easier. But But any time that I have a weak moment, any time that, you know, sometimes a yontif is even after the year, but even a simcha when somebody is blatantly missing, you know, it's. But I have a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I've rejuvenated. I've rebonded. I've reconnected. I've deepened that relationship with Him. And the Mela, like, that gives me the strength to go on. So the truth of the matter is that there's no answers on a real level, and we really shouldn't even try. On the other hand, to come up with some possibilities, sometimes are just emotional tools to make the emotions a little bit easier to cope with. And in the end, we have to strengthen that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that can give us the strength to go on and face life and recognize that we have a mission, we have a purpose. Everybody has a mission. You know, there's a medrash that says that Rabun, I think his name was, I think he died at 29, if I'm not mistaken, and there was a baskol or something that said that he fulfilled his full life's purpose in 29 years. He had a tafkid. He fulfilled that tafkid. And it was time to move on to a better world. If we appreciate that this world, with all its glicken, all the groisa glicken in this world, is Yemeshnai Sehu Bohim Shivim Shoma, Vim Begvuroi Shmoinim Shoma, Verovim Omo Oven, and then it's all over. It's Keheref Ayin. Yomeinu Ketzel Oiver. Loi kitzilo shel Elon, v'loi kitzilo shel Elon, v'loi kitzilo shel Eitz el kitzel oif haperech ba'avir. Our life goes by like a shadow, not like the shadow that goes by on a wall, which takes a long time to go, not like the shadow which is a tree that has a lot of bushes, you know, branches, and it takes a long time, less than a wall. But like a bird that flies over. The shadow of a bird, before you know it, you blink, and the shadow moves on. That's what this life is all about. And when we realize that, and we realize there's an eternal world waiting for us, and that eternal world is eternity. Eternity, eternity means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And the neshamas live on. And there's a connection that remains with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Makes so much easier to cope. And one more thing, and that's, you know, there's a very beautiful thing. If you come to the Sanhedrin Cemetery in Sanhedrin, to the Kevra of Rav Ari Levine was involved with all the Kevra, the Eitzel and Lechi, and all these people that were involved in the fighting, you know, the British before the establishment of the state. And they were all by him. He used to visit them in the prison when the British held them in prison and take care of them. He made a minyan with them, daven with them. He would bring messages from them to their family, to their families every Shabbos. It was meisa nefesh for them. They wanted to kill one of those chevra. He lied down in front of the car that was supposed to pull the string and says, "You'll have to run me over first." You know, it was meisa nefesh for them. Anyway, and on his kever he writes, אני מבקש מכל מי שבא להשתתח על קברי שיאמר בפה מלא אני מאמין באמונה שלמה בתחיית המתים באיס שיעלה לראות לפני whatever the, no I forgot the rest of the verse בתחיית המתים should be saying the אני מאמין more, but anyway, but what that's right. So he said, And you see these chevra, some of them with a yarmulke that's barely sitting, you know, like on their head there. They come to the kever on the yortzeit. I've seen it many times. And they're all saying, Imamin b'tchiyas ha-meisim. And that tchiyas ha-meisim is the greatest nechoma. Because tchiyas ha-meisim says that not only is my neshoma eternal, and my neshoma remains connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but physically, in some way, exactly how, we don't know all the details, we'll all be reunited again. That's a great source of strength. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that we should be zeicher b'korov, that the people that have suffered these tragedies should find true nechama. We should be zeicher to see Tchiyas HaMeisim b'meira b'yomei.
Amen.